It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Some nice guitar moves there. Is that Shep on the guitar? I don't think so.
Could have been. Could have been in the studio.
I got to do my intro here, but folks, tell your friends. We have one serious show in store for you. For anyone that has any type of business, large, small, B2C, B2B, because at the heart of every single business is the customer service, the customer experience. Thank you for joining me here on another edition of Mind Your Business. I did give away who our guest is going to be, but it's going to be an amazing show. Again, thank you for joining me here on 710 WOR and the powerful iHeartRadio Network. Tonight's show, again, each week presented by BLMG, Bottom Line Marketing Group, who's behind the show. The weekly Mind Your Business radio show features interviews with Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus such as Stephen Sadov, the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Beth Comstock, former vice chair and CMO at GE, Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, among so many others, John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. All past episodes are available by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and many of them, most of them, have been videoed, and they're up on our YouTube channel. If you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you will automatically be notified every single time a episode goes live. Our YouTube channel is 710 WOR Mind Your Business. Again, on YouTube, 710 WOR Mind Your Business. Turn on notifications and subscribe, and you will automatically be notified every single time a show goes up. Well, to be a mensch, we got to start off with some thank yous. Special thank you to the entire team here at BLMG, in particular, Srili, Michal, Brocha, Matt, Miriam, Avigail, Malki, thank you. And to the great folks behind the boards at 710 WOR, Darren and Robert in particular. And, of course, a special shout-out to Zev Brenner, the veteran radio personality who precedes me here at 710 WOR. And a special thank you to all those that stopped me anywhere. Someone stopped me just at a wedding recently to talk about business class clips. Thank you. I appreciate it. We also were syndicated at this point on many different channels. Lakewood Scoop, they feature the daily business class clips. Visit them on Instagram. They have over 26,000 followers. Nucky Radio, visit them at NuckyRadio.com. The Jewish Home, which features a print summary of selected Mind Your Business shows in a Q&A format. Tonight's show for sure is going to turn into one of those. Business class clips, right? Micro learning. We're on WhatsApp. We're on Instagram. Sign up today on WhatsApp by texting sign up to 718-594-6519. And of course, we're on all the popular podcasting channels, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. And like mentioned before, the YouTube channel. Well, without further ado, going to tonight's amazing guest. Truly amazing, and that's a word we like to use when we have Shep Eichen on. He has a long rap sheet. I'm just going to zero in to a specific paragraph. A prolific speaker, well known for his content-rich, entertaining, and high-energy presentations. Shep Eichen has been inducted into the National Speakers Hall of Fame. Added, by the way, people, you know, to understand, to get into the Hall of Fame, right? People know on football, wow. Baseball, Cooperstown, wow. Out of over, Shep, help me out here. There's roughly, 50,000 people in the National Speaker Association, and what, 300?
Oh, no, that are now members, but there's more than 50,000 speakers out there. Probably closer, it depends what numbers you get. 80,000 speakers.
80,000. And how many, right? Okay, I'm sorry. Yep.
And worldwide, there are members throughout the world of other speaker organizations. We're all part of the International Federation of Professional Speaking. But yeah, every year they usually put in 4 to 5 new Hall of Famers. And I believe my year was 2008. Oh, it was a long time ago.
Hey, you're not so old.
Right, I'm not.
So what, today there are what, roughly 350, 400 people in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, there might be. Yeah, we're all over 40 years.
So imagine there are roughly, let's say, 375 people in the Hall of Fame out of 80,000 professional speakers worldwide. That's it.
Well, I mean, and I love 80,000 of those speakers to be members of the National Speakers Association.
Right.
That would be really cool, too.
A shout out for the NSA folks there. And we've had a couple of Hall of Famers on. We had Stephen Shapiro, Jeffrey Hazlett.
Yep.
And, of course, many in the million. What was it, the Millionaire Club?
Million Dollar Speakers Group.
Million Dollar Speakers.
MDSG.
Yeah, Stephen Gaffney, and, of course, Ron Carr, and many others. Well. Also, a special, you know, we got to be a mensch. Special thank you to your great team at Shepherd Presentations. Cindy Pass.
Thank you.
Yeah, Cindy Pass, Director of Reputation at Shepherd Presentations. And Jesselyn Trow. Did I pronounce her name right?
You did.
All right. And, I nailed it.
Yeah.
Hey.
You nailed it.
New Media Manager at Shepherd Presentations. Special thank you. Tonight's show, we're going to discuss many areas of the customer experience, in particular, building a business to thrive in good times and bad times, bulletproof strategies for success through mastering the customer experience, and discussing repeat customers and loyal customers. How do you secure both? Again, Shep, thank you so much for joining me here once again on Mind Your Business.
Well, thanks for having me back. I think this is my third or fourth time.
It's never enough. And never enough.
All right.
Got to keep coming back.
I'm going to come back. I love you, brother.
You said here, I'll be back. And I want that for this show as well.
Yes.
Okay.
So yesterday I did a Clubhouse event. Clubhouse is a big new thing.
Yep.
For those that aren't familiar with it, I say it's like when I was a kid, there was the CB radio. We used to get on and talk, you know, breaker.
You're dating yourself.
Right. Well, Clubhouse is kind of the same way. And I was doing a Clubhouse. We were sharing a room together. We did a presentation with a gentleman who has a thick, I would say it sounds like a German accent, although I think he's from Belgium.
Okay.
And he said, so your new book is I'll Be Back. I go, that's exactly what it's supposed to sound like. But, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he made the phrase I'll be back famous. But really, this I'll be back is about I'll be back, how to get your customers to come back again and again. You want them to say I'll be back.
Shep, by the way, a couple of weeks ago, we interviewed Ramon Ray. And he spoke all about Clubhouse.
Yeah, I love Ramon.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Let's jump right in. How does a company design and create an experience that gets customers to return again and again and again and again and again?
Yep. So we're going to go back to what I call the foundational principles of what I talk about, what I write about. In every single book, I have a chapter on this. And that is we want to be amazing. Now, being amazing is not being over the top, blow me away, best service I've ever had in my entire life. You may get that if you're lucky, but what really amazing companies focus on is the interaction day in and day out that they have with their customers, the experiences they create day in and day out with the products and the way anything related to the company. By the way, customer service, in my mind, it's cultural, it's philosophical, it's not a department. It's part of an organization's really what they're all about. You know, they're, like I said, their culture and the philosophy. It's everybody's job to deliver a great experience, whether they're delivering the experience to an outside customer or internally. And that sets internally, it sets the tone for what's going on outside. And experience, to differentiate that, is service is part of the experience. And by the way, customer service, again, we'll take a second definition for me, is, again, not so much a department, but it's the way a customer is treated throughout the entire process from the moment they might make a first inquiry during the sales, if they need support, what happens afterwards. All of these interactions are part of the service experience. The overall experience could include anything. If I ship something to you and you get the box and you say, oh, it's a box from Shep and it has a cool design on the outside, or you know what you're, I mean, I can get you excited. If you think about what Apple did when you go to open the box of an iPhone or, you know, an iPad, that's a cool experience. So everything experiential with the company. So I help clients try to create positive experiences. So now that we have the foundational definition out of the way, being amazing, again, not over the top, but it's simply being better than average all of the time. That's not easy to do. Better than average is easy. It could be a little bit. And if you want, I'll give you a quick example of that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So you walk into a hotel. You're a guest. You check in. And everybody's very nice, friendly, and they greet you. And a little later on, you're walking down the hall and the bellman walks by. And this is a good little what I call moment of magic. The bellman says, good afternoon. Okay, nice. Engaging. Just a little voice, right? Not a big deal. But what if he says, good afternoon, sir? Smiles at me. Bumps it up a tiny notch, right? So far, nothing that blew me away, right?
Right.
What if he says, good afternoon, Mr. Hyken?
Whoa.
And I recognize he was the guy that checked, you know, took my bags and took them over to the front desk earlier. And he remembered my name.
Wow.
Now, that's not over the top, but you can see that really is better than average.
Oh, yeah. You'll remember that.
In a hotel chain like the Ritz-Carlton, that's what they train their people to do, is to constantly do these little bump ups. You know, it's not just a smile and a head nod. It's a smile, a head nod, and good morning. Good morning, ma'am. Good morning, sir. Right. Good morning, Mr. Mrs. Hyken, whatever, you know.
Shep, I'm just going to veer off our primary conversation for a moment, because you touched on something which you also discussed through many of your lectures, and the importance of training over and over again. And you mentioned that in your new book, or in all your books, you have a chapter that focuses on a particular point. How important is it that when companies train, to realize it takes time for the information to go in, and it needs to be repeated again and again and again? Could you just talk about that point, even though it has to do with internal, but to drive home a point, it's got to be repeated again and again and again.
Again and again. So I think you and I have talked about the six-step process on creating a customer-focused culture, and the first is defining what that looks like. And I like one sentence, then communicating it, then training everybody to it. And I mean everybody. Everybody is responsible for living that vision and part of the culture. Even people in a warehouse or in a finance department that never sees a customer, they need to understand what their role is. And training isn't something you do one time. It's not something you did. It's something you do ongoing. And it should really start, if you really want to bake it into the culture, start it when somebody's onboarding. Or actually start it in the interview process, kind of give people a preview as to what's there. And then the interview process is, this is who we are. You come to work for us and you're onboarding. Maybe even there's some documentation they read before they even step foot into their first day, so they understand that the whole, you know, culture of the company. And you train to that culture and you do it over and over again and you reinforce it. And you don't need to spend hours and hours every week. But you know, if you spent 5 to 10 minutes every week to 2 weeks reinforcing the culture, you're probably going to get people consistently remembering what they're supposed to do. When they start, there's a lot of other pieces that fall into place, but when you do that right, then they're going to be recognized, they're going to feel good about it, and they're going to understand and be aware of when they're delivering on the promise that you have for the customers. And then, you know, you've created that culture. And here's something ironic. The best places to buy from are also the best places to work at. If you take a look at the ratings that companies get through J.D. Power, through the American Customer Satisfaction Index, ACSI, or any worldwide organization that looks at companies' customer service records, and then you go to Glassdoor.com, which is all focused on employee experience, you'll find many of the companies that rate high in Glassdoor are the same companies that rate high in customer service and satisfaction.
Great point. Culture runs through.
I think it's real.
Culture is consistent. Shep, you have a new book coming out. One of your previous books, I got here, Be Amazing or Go Home. I got to give a shout out to my good buddy, Aaron Hertz, from Aaron's Casino Farms and a number of other supermarkets that he oversees. He was listening to the show last time. He said, you know what? He heard about the book, Be Amazing or Go Home, and he said he got it for his top management. And I'm sure there are others. The story didn't come back to me. But this book, I'm going to give it a kiss. Be Amazing. Now, of course, I got it personalized. Lucky me. Shep, this book, Be Amazing or Go Home, did you think about during the pandemic renaming it to Stay Home Yet Be Amazing?
Be Amazing and Stay
and
Home.
Stay Home.
You know, I love that. You know what? I'm going to have to come out with a sequel. The pandemic version of Be Amazing or Go Home is Be Amazing and Stay Home.
Because at the end of the day, the concepts are still solid, whether they're at work or... Because whether you're in the dining room or you're in the boardroom, at the end of the day, the concepts are there. They got, someone wants to ace it, they got to follow what you talk about in the book.
Well, I thank you for that. And I also say that that is a book of habits, good habits that you string together to create amazing experiences for your colleagues and your customers at work. But you know what? Every one of those habits, even though I focus all on customer service and experience, every one of those habits are very, very important to your personal life as well.
Yep.
You know, if I'm going to meet you for dinner and you're my friend and I show up 20, 30 minutes late, am I really showing you the respect that you deserve?
That's right.
You know, you're a busy guy, Yitzhak, and we can go out. I know. I don't want to waste your time, even though you're my friend and you'll be forgiving. And
of
you'll
course
say,
I
Shep,
would.
Don't worry about it. We're just meeting for dinner. Deep down, you're going, you know, I could have spent another 20, 30 minutes with my family. I could have spent another 20 minutes at work making a phone call, talking to a client. So little things like that, little habits like that, showing up on time, being willing to embrace criticism. If it's done in the right way, it's a gift, even if it's tough to hear. You know, making excellence a habit. One of my favorite chapters in that book has to do with authenticity. And, you know, I'm a musician.
That's right.
I have fun. I play guitar.
And you got Chet a lot Atkins. Of them in the view. Anyone watching on YouTube, let's say 1, 2, 3, 4. I count four guitars right there behind you.
Well, you count one in a frame that's Eagles yes. that signed the guitar. You count one that's actually a lamp that looks like a guitar, but there's a lampshade on it. And then this is my office. You should see what I have in my man cave at home. I mean, there's guitars hanging cave. On the walls and piano, drums.
Srilly. Oh, no, Srilly, stop. He's booking his flight to St. Louis. Srilly, we'll talk after the show. Don't worry.
Okay.
The engineer
plays guitar. So
where
was I going with this? Yeah. Musician. Now I got sidetracked. Musician. Who were we talking about?
No, so
Squirrel. Chet Atkins. Chet Atkins. So there's a habit in the book about being authentic.
Right.
Chet Atkins, one of the greatest guitar players of all time. He was on his deathbed. Now, I've got a really, really good buddy of mine, Kevin King, that's friends with him. And I have another buddy. His name's Mindy. That's his nickname. He has an autograph collection. And he said to my buddy, Kevin, would you see if Chet Atkins, before he dies, would sign a guitar for me? And Kevin says, well, I'll ask him, but he's pretty sick. So he's visiting, you know, Chet about every night or so, I'm guessing. And he asks if it's okay if his buddy sends a guitar for him to sign. So our friend Mindy goes out and he buys a guitar. He buys the cheapest guitar that he could possibly get. Because what he's going to do is he's going to get a signature on the guitar and he's going to hang it on the wall, right? So it doesn't need to play well, right? But Chet Atkins does more than just sign a guitar. When Chet Atkins is asked to sign a guitar, he plays it first. And then he signs it. He says, now you have a guitar that's not only signed, but played by Chet Atkins. That's his authenticity. He wants to leave his, you know, as much as he can in that guitar, not just his signature, but his fingerprints on the fretboard and his DNA. And that's authenticity. But this is what happened that night. So my friend Kevin brings the guitar in and he plays the guitar and he signs the guitar as best he can. And he's sick. He goes, Kevin, this is the worst guitar I've ever played in my entire life. And then he passed away shortly thereafter. And I'm thinking to myself, my friend Mindy has probably the last guitar he ever signed, and it was the worst guitar he ever played in his life. Anyway, Chet Atkins was truly an authentic personality, and we miss him in the music world. But what a great guy. But what a great lesson, too, being real and authentic and genuine and caring. It all goes together.
The time is flying. Tell your buddies, anyone who's tuned in, and anyone that's in the business world that really cares and wants to grow their business, the secret sauce is be amazing, have great customer service. And we are talking with perhaps the world's foremost expert, certainly one of the world's foremost experts in the area of customer experience. By the way, just to name drop some of his clients, American Airlines, American Express. If you're not impressed, I mean, Shep has a list. But
American Airlines, now, come on now. We know the airlines.
But
I do love American Airlines. American Airlines, American Express. There's a few others in the A's.
But we'd need more than an hour to go through the list, so we're going to have to stop at that.
I've been doing this a long time. Yeah,
you
no
don't
doubt.
Look it. You don't look it. You don't look it.
You anyway, know, us bald guys, we don't show the gray hair. So that's the thing.
It's that's like, the advantage.
Like our face looks pretty much the same for like 25 years because the hair doesn't change. And then one day you get up and you go, oh, what happened to me? And it's like, hopefully those are a few years from now that'll happen, but not right now.
My guess. So yeah.
But yep. the book on being amazing, and again, I want to emphasize that being amazing is not over the top. It's simply being a little bit better than average. And when you are consistent and predictable, your customers will say, I love doing business with them. They always are knowledgeable. They always get back to me quickly. The word always followed by something positive is what we're looking for. And when that happens, that's that consistent, predictable experience. And that is the beginning of getting customers to want to say, I'll be back.
We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security. My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times of the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. My guest is none other than Brother Shep. Shep Hyken, who's I've been fortunate to be a close buddy of his for many years. It goes back the first time. Let me just share the first time. The moment of magic for me was when I saw Shep on stage at a C-suite event. Special shout out to Jeffrey Hazlett and to Jonathan Gassman, JG. He also got us in touch. And Shep's up there on stage talking about the customer experience. And I had already launched the show. And I said, I need to get this guy on my show. I almost ran up on stage in the middle of the presentation. I knew Jeffrey would tackle me. He's bigger than me.
So, no, he's a big guy.
He's a big guy.
Bigger than life, that
That's
man.
Right.
He's a great guy, though. What a great guy.
Yeah, shout out to big Jeffrey Hazlett. So I knew better than to run up on stage. But afterwards, it was shortly after that I did meet you in the hallway and Shep, and we hit it off from there. So, Shep, one of the magical stories that you say over and is important life lessons and, of course, business and corporate lessons that apply to every business, and that is the story that you share about Jan Carlson. I'll let you take it from there.
Well, Jan Carlson wrote a book, and actually one of the exciting things that happened to me back in the early 1980s when I started my business is I read an article about this concept, the moment of truth in business. Anytime a customer comes into contact with any aspect of a business, they form an impression. And Jan Carlson ran Scandinavian Airlines. At the time he took it over, it was not doing great. By the time he finished, it was recognized as one of the top airlines in the world. He did it with the idea that you can manage your moments of truth, the interaction that you have with the customer, or in his case, a passenger. And he got everybody on board, no pun intended, flight attendants, people, ticket agents, reservationists, even the baggage claim personnel. He said, if you're not supporting somebody directly, the passenger directly, you're supporting somebody internally to help them do a more effective job for the passenger. Anyway, he said, everything counts, the perception that people have. And I know that what you like is the story about how he said, you know, if the tray table in your seat, if you go to unlock it and it comes down and it's broken, you know, maybe that passenger is going to wonder what else is broken. Maybe the landing gear is broken. I mean, if the tray table doesn't come down the right way, is the landing gear going to go down the right way? And so you have to create this. And you just mentioned at the break when we were talking about, you know, let's share the story. You had a great example of a typo in an email and the perception that that might have. Years ago, I had an assistant and she wrote an email and she accidentally sent the draft of the email and not the email she meant to send, the corrected one. And it was filled with typos. And the client said to me, he goes, it was so off brand when he talked to me. He says, I was tempted to call up and cancel the speaking engagement. Mm. It was that bad. And I thought, wow, was that a great lesson to learn? But you're right. And you had a great example of the file name was misspelled, right, but everything else was right. And share that because I think that's worth telling everybody.
Yeah, I mean, perfection has to be, almost like you say about customer experience, it's not a department. Perfection has to be wired into the DNA. If someone is sending an email and the client's name in the file is misspelled, when they open the PDF, everything is fine, but the file name is misspelled.
And nobody's ever going to see it except for the client.
I love that.
What's the perception there? And by the way, you used the word perfection. I don't think perfection is reality. And matter of fact, we go back to the book, Be Amazing or Go Home. Yep. I have a chapter in there about Vince Lombardi, who said, Lombardo, I just ate at the restaurant Lombardo's the other night. No, Vince Lombardi, who said, we talk about Lombardi time, showing up on time.
Right.
You know, if you're 10 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late, something, whatever it is.
That's
but,
right.
He had this expression. It's not in the book, I don't believe, but it's a good expression. He says, perfection is not reality, but on the path to trying to achieve perfection, you can achieve excellence.
Yeah.
Now, I've paraphrased that, but that's basically what he says. It's very difficult to be perfect all the time. But if you try to be perfect, you'll find that many times you achieve excellence along the way. I love that.
Yep. Now, of course, we are talking about Shep's new book, I'll Be Back. It will be released to the public in September of 2021. Right. But
it is released, actually.
So, talk about it.
It's actually released immediately. If you buy the book today, the hardback book doesn't come out until September. But if you go to illbebackbook.com, that's an I'll is I-L-L because there are no apostrophes in website addresses.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
illbebackbook.com. You can buy the book today and it will be sent to you as soon as it's released hardback. But immediately you'll get an email with a link that gives you instant access to download the ebook at no extra charge. And that's like the pre-publication special. And plus on top of that, I'm creating some videos over the next few months and some extra content that the people who step up and are part of the tribe, they're going to get this little extra benefit.
Wow. Shep, what's the one trackable trend that leaders must monitor every morning?
Okay, so this is really why I wrote the book. Okay. And I don't know if you realize that that's what you were bringing up. So the trackable trend, everybody's looking at customer satisfaction scores. I meet with clients who review their NPS, Net Promoter Score, every single morning with their teams. So let me tell you what those are. Sure. Net Promoter Score is an equation, but basically it tells you the question that you ask the customers on a scale of 0 to 10, what's the likelihood that you would recommend us to a colleague, a friend, or family member, depending on the kind of business. On a scale of 0 to 10, 9s and 10s are promoters, hence net promoter. And then you've got your passives that, you know, right. 7s or 8s. They're like, okay, they're all right, they're fine. I know what fine means. Fine is not fine. And then you've got anybody less than that, 6s or less. Those are your detractors. And there's a formula to determine what your percentage is based on your promoters versus the others, you know, mm-hmm. detractors and passives. That's a great score. CSAT, customer satisfaction, customer effort score. There's so much data you can get by surveying customers, but you want to know what you're surveying. You're surveying their sentiment toward the experience they just had or general overall experience. But what you're not looking at is behavior. The measurement that I think is important to look at every day is the behavior of the customer. And that's simply, do they come back? What is the repeat customer rate that you have? Now, I also talk about repeat business doesn't mean loyal business, but I love repeat customers no matter what. But let's start there. Getting them to come back again and again means you're giving them an experience that makes them want to do that. So we now know the measurement. If I can, let me give you one idea that will help drive that repeat business, because it's one thing to talk about it. I want to give you something tangible. Mm-hmm. And that is this. I call it the loyalty question. And it happens in the interaction that you're having with the customer. You think to yourself, and what I'm doing right now, the interaction that I'm having right now, is that going to get that customer to want to come back the next time they buy whatever it is that they're buying from us? And that interaction could be during a sales process. It could be if I work at a retail store and I've never seen a customer, am I giving them such good service that they'll love me and want to come back? Now, that's great. I don't just want them to come back. I actually want them to come back. Yeah. Okay, I want you to actually do it. Not just want to, but actually do it. And there's a difference. But in order to get that to happen, we got to make them want to come back to begin with. And even if you're in an interaction that's contentious, a customer calls, they have a complaint or an issue, you know, how are you resolving it? Are you doing it in such a way that makes the customer then say, remember I said the word always followed by something good? They're always so helpful. Are they going to say, and even when there's a problem, I know I can always count on them to take care of me. When you start creating that consistency and that predictability, that's when people say, I want more of that. I want to own my experience. You know, the whole idea of ownership of the experience comes from another book I wrote called The Cult of the Customer and the 5 culture phases customers go through. And when they get to an owned experience and the experience is positive, owning it meaning, I know this is how it's going to be every time I go. I own that, right? They've created that for me. And that experience is positive. You know, you're operating in amazement. That's your step toward getting that customer to want to come back. So measure behavior, not just ratings. That's a long way of getting to that line.
Now, Shep, you mentioned, you touched on something, and I'm very curious about this. The difference between repeat customers and loyal customers, aren't they the same?
Not really. They can be. A loyal customer is probably a repeat customer, but a repeat customer oftentimes is not a loyal customer. I'll give you the easiest example. Why do I go to that store over there? Maybe it's a convenience store. Okay. It's because it's convenient. Well, what happens if another store comes up that's more convenient?
Good point.
Well, I might switch to that because I don't really have any true loyalty to that store. I just go back there because they've created a convenience for me. Yeah. Maybe I go back there because they have the lowest price. And until they don't have the lowest price, I'll keep going back. Okay. But once that switches, maybe I'm going to a restaurant. And they gave me a card that says, you know, get 5 punches and the 6th meal is free. Okay. Mm-hmm. And people say, oh, that's our loyalty program. No, it's not a loyalty program. It's a marketing program. It's a repeat customer program, but it's not a loyalty program. If you take away the punch card, is the customer still going to want to come back? That is what drives the loyalty program, whatever makes that customer come back beyond whatever marketing effort you have. That said, the best marketing is a great experience. And that great experience does drive repeat, if not loyal, business. And the last comment I want to make on this is that loyalty is typically tied to an emotion. I love doing business with them because, And, you know, when customers start using the L word, love, that's a good sign, but it's usually some emotional connection. Maybe it's my favorite, you know, person who takes care of me. Maybe it's that I can count on this company every time. Maybe it's, you know, they're almost perfect. Nobody's perfect, but boy, whenever I have a problem, they do whatever it takes to make me happy. And whatever it takes might be something pretty simple. You know, maybe they just respond super quick, you know, but in my mind, it's magic to me. So what I'm looking for is to create ultimately repeat customers with an emotional connection that drives people wanting to come back because they love me, not just because we're convenient, we've got a low price, or we have some special marketing promotion that gets you to come back.
Folks, we're going to go to a commercial break, but before I do, just want to let the listeners know, we're talking about Shep's new upcoming book, I'll Be Back. Shep, how can people pre-order the book?
Yep, just go to illbebackbook.com. Place your order. If it's international, there's a little bit of an extra shipping charge, but otherwise, the retail price is $24.95, and that includes shipping, wow, sales tax. You'll get the ebook immediately. You'll get access to some other assets that we have. Plus, when the book ships in September, it'll just automatically come from either Amazon or another book retailer, but you'll get the book and you'll get my undying gratitude.
Hey, hey, folks, no pun intended. I'll be right back.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Before the break, I said I'll be back. We're talking about Shep's new book, I'll Be Back, How to Get Customers to come back again and again and again. And we appreciate that Shep has been gracious enough to come back again and again and again. Thank you, Shep.
Hey, man, my pleasure. I always have fun with you.
Thank you.
Your energy is amazing. You know that?
Thank you. Thank you. But it's some people that get it going, and Shep Hyken is definitely one of them. Thank you. Shep, what are the two simple words that are the secret to every customer service program?
Wow. So that's, you want to two simple words. I want to know what they are.
We don't have an hour left to the show either.
I know, but I got to give you the backstory on this, okay, which only take a moment.
Okay.
So I'm getting ready to do one of my speeches. I'm the closing keynote speaker for an event. And I'm told we have to be out by the exact time. You know, I have to end on time. I cannot go over. They got to go from here to catch a bus to get to an event later that evening. To end on time.
And we're not even going to discuss how unfair that is, but it is what it is. Yeah.
Well, the reason it becomes unfair when you're the very last speaker is if the speaker in front of you goes long, they cut into your time.
That's right.
But it wasn't the speaker in front of me that went long. It was three speakers in front of me that went long.
Oy
vey.
And
then the next one went long. My client comes up and he says, Shep, you know, I was slated to do about 45 minutes. He says, we've got you down to about 25 minutes. Can you do it in 25 minutes? Sure, no problem. I just need a moment to write some notes, figure out what I'm going to take out of the speech. No issue. I'm happy to do it, right? And then he says, we got a real problem. This guy's going long and really you've got about 2 minutes. Do we just scrap it and have you back another time? I go, you can, but you know what? I can do something in 2 minutes. You can? So I walk out and I say to the audience, hey, everyone, I don't know if you realize it, but we're supposed to be on our way to the buses in 2 minutes and I'm not going to be late. I promise you I'm going to end on time. So I've decided I'm going to give you the shortest customer service speech in the world and the history of all speeches. This is it. And here's the thing. I've already used about 45 seconds of my 2 minutes. So I just want you to imagine that my name was introduced and I walk out here and here's the speech. Are you ready? Here it goes. Be nice. And then I turned and I started to walk off. I go, look at that. I still have about 45, 50 seconds left. And then I said, seriously, be nice. Sounds like I'm being, you know, sarcastic and that's ridiculous. Of course we should be nice. Well, I've written now 8 books on how to be nice. So there must be a lot into being nice and creating the experience. Because at the end of the day, regardless of what you do, you want your people who you do business with, your customers, to say, you know what, those people are friendly. They're nice, or some derivative of that comment. Be nice is so simple, but that's really a good starting point, isn't it? A smile, a head nod when somebody comes in, how we answer a phone, how we engage in the conversation. Do we do what we say we're going to do? Is that being nice? I think that's part of being nice. There's so much that can go into the experience where people say, you know what, that was nice because they're nice. And it's cultural, it's philosophical, it's more than just 2 words. So there you go. Be nice. And I believe that if you start with the fundamental idea that, you know what, we need to be nice to our customers. So how do we go about doing that? Then you can start driving to that point.
What a great story. What now, Shep, I don't know how many years ago that was, but today, as of today, how many, I mean, you just never stop writing. How many books have you penned?
Well, as I mentioned, that was this most recent one, I'll Be Back, is number 8. Number 8 on the list. I've done a reboot of Cult of the Customer, so it's really 8.5, I guess. It was a rewrite, and it just came out about a year.
And what about the sequel? What about the sequel on this one, right?
Yeah, Be Amazing
and Stay Home.
I hope that book becomes obsolete.
That's right. Amen. We all want this to pass. Shep, why is set? Let's talk about a very important point. Today's day and age. Digital companies, websites, apps, etc. Why is setting up or expanding self-service and digital service choices a must, not an option?
Right. So and you use the term digital service choices. So there's 2 levels of self-service. And I think they all go into the experience. When it comes to customer service, digital service might be a frequently asked questions page on your website where you can type in your question and the computer understands contextually what you're looking for and brings up answers, articles. You know, maybe you go on YouTube and you type in, how do I do blank on this software that I have? One of the reasons I chose Salesforce a number of years ago as a CRM, customer relationship management software program, is I asked about their customer support. which I can't remember if they were open 24/7 or if they were they had other business hours. But it didn't matter to me, because the guy said, well, what kind of a question do you think you might have that you might need support with?
Wow.
Let's make one up. And we made one up. He goes, now just go into Google and type, how do I do whatever the question is in Salesforce? And like 5 YouTube videos came up. A YouTube video from Salesforce, and then a number of customers who were adding their spin onto how to do whatever it was that I was looking to do. I go, really? He goes, every question you would ever want to ask has a video tutorial on YouTube. Really? Wow. So there's an example of digital or self-service options that are great. But self-service can also be just giving control to the customer. Let's just talk about the biggest online company selling today is Amazon, right? And Amazon is a complete self-service experience. You go on, you look at what you want, you compare to other products, there's reviews, you can compare prices, so many different things you can do. Amazon will even tell you, hey, I know you're looking at different products, but if you want to buy this product at a lower price, here's a link to another vendor. That's how confident they are that they give you such a great experience that you're not going to want to take the chance of saving a little bit of money and not getting all the positive experience that you have from Amazon, which includes the moment you place the order, getting a confirmation, being told it's shipping. They give you the information about the shipping number and tracking it. They give you a picture of your box at your front door after they've left it. And then, you know, my Amazon Echo lights up a color that tells me, hey, something's been delivered. And, you know, they create an amazing experience. The point is, all of that is digital, okay? And all of that is self-service. It's not about customer service, it's about customer experience. So if you can digitize certain aspects of the experience, customers love that. But, this is a big but, one of my chapters in the book is you can't automate the relationship. And too many companies today are becoming enamored with this technology and then all of a sudden separating or distancing themselves. They didn't realize they were doing it until it's too late. By creating that human-to-human connection, when you cut that off, all of a sudden, in most businesses, you become a commodity. Well, I can get this experience anywhere. That's right. There's no relationship. So be very careful. If you have a self-service solution, make sure there is an easy channel to get to a human when they need it, when the customer needs it. Zappos.com puts their phone number on every single web page. Even though they're an online e-commerce company, they need to know, as they want their customers to know, you can call us about anything. And now they've created that human-to-human connection. So that's what I want everybody to realize. Digitization, self-service, great ideas. Do them. Customers want it. But still, make sure there's the opportunity for the customer to connect with you.
The listeners of the Mind Your Business Show know that each and every week we fight for the most amazing guests that we can get on. Shep Hyken, a noted speaker, author. He's actually a New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestselling author. And probably most importantly, he is the world's foremost expert. If not one, if someone wants to argue with me, I'll get into the alley. We'll settle the score. But he is the world's foremost expert on the customer experience. Shep, it's amazing to have you on. We still have a precious few minutes. But before we go to commercial break, how could people pre-order your upcoming book?
Just go to I'llBeBackBook.com, I'llBeBackBook.com. Pre-order it today. You'll immediately get the ebook at no extra charge. Eventually, we will start charging for the ebook. And then when the book is finally ready to ship, you'll get the book sent to you straight from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or another retailer.
Folks, I'll be back.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
There's some guitar in there, but it's not Shep. But we do have him on the set, and that's really the best news, because to have the world's foremost expert on the customer experience is a big deal. We have a precious few minutes left with Shep Hyken, the noted New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestselling author and NSA Hall of Famer. We talked about that earlier in the show. Many people are going to wonder, say, oh, man, I just tuned in. I didn't realize. No worries. By Tuesday morning, this show will be up at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. That's the platform that hosts all the episodes that we've had on this great program. And, of course, for those that are following us on YouTube, subscribe. You are automatically notified when this will become a live video episode, which is usually within a week or two after the show. But, again, on YouTube, just follow us. Visit 710WOR, Mind Your Business, and subscribe, and it's that easy. You will be notified when this show goes live. Well, Shep, I'm going to ask you the magic question. This is the moment of magic, you're right? By the way, I introduced something into your lexicon, remember? Moment of stupid?
Moments of misery, moments of stupid.
And then moments of oy vey.
Oy vey.
Well, that's funny. Here is the big question. How does a company build an I'll be back culture?
And I'll be back, getting customers to want to come back. And by the way, culture is the great word, because again, everything we talk about is infused in culture. All right, there's one of the chapters toward the end of the book, the very last chapter, talks about how you actually create this. And I'm going to give you this real quick process to think about. And it's not complicated. It's actually, I call it a simple process. Not easy, but simple, right? There's a big difference. So number one, you want to gather a group together, and this group should be leadership. It should also be maybe people from the front line, maybe people from other parts of the business. And you're going to sit down, because you're going to have this big brainstorm. And you're not going to do it, by the way, in a half an hour or an hour. It's going to take multiple meetings to do this the right way. Here's the series of questions you're going to ask yourself. And that's all it is. It's discussions around questions. Number one, why should someone do business with me today? Why me instead of whomever, okay, or the competitor? And let's write that down. I don't want you to say things like, oh, we have really nice people, because that's what they say too. What is the true differentiator? And I hope you have one. And if you don't have one, that's okay. You're going to come up with one in a minute. I don't like you looking at your competition to copy your competition, but you can't avoid the competition. They're there. So now I want you to ask another question. And that question is, what does the competition do that would make people, customers, want to do business with them instead of us? Good question. Once I know the answer to that, I want to know, are we not doing that? Should we be doing that? And by the way, if we should be and we're not, I do not want you to copy it. I want you to borrow it and make it better. Make it your own. I mean, maybe there are some things that you have to just copy, but if you can find a way to give your own twist to it, it makes it even better. All right. So that's the setup. Now you've got really good intel. Now I want you to look outside of your industry, and I want you to think, what are the companies that I love to do business with? My favorite companies, and get that list from everybody. And you're going to hear the standards. I love Amazon. I love a favorite hotel chain. I love, you know, the restaurant. I love the shoe repair down the street. I love the vendor, because their inside salesperson at that manufacturer that we buy from, they just make, you know. But you want why? So you first of all want to list the companies, and next you want to discuss the why behind that. Why do I love Amazon? Well, they've got everything on Amazon. Well, we don't have everything, so we probably can't do that. Well, I love that the moment I place an order, I get a confirmation. And I love that once the order ships, they send me the tracking information. Oh, so what you love is information. That's what you love. You don't love that actual email, although that's what's driving what you love. Can we give our customers more information? Do you see what's happening here? Yeah. We're making a list of what we love, and then we're going to go ask ourselves, what is it that these huge, great rock star companies are doing? Maybe not huge, but great. Okay. They could be a small little business. And could we take some of what they're doing that makes us love them and bring it into what we do so our customers will love us even more? Okay. Maybe we don't have an email campaign that once a customer buys has an automatic series of emails confirming the order has been placed, the order's been shipped, here's the tracking, the order's been received, here's who signed for it. If you can put that in place and that's what customers love, well, now you've got something to add. And you start looking at the low-hanging fruit, the opportunities to add, and then you ask yourself one more question. And this is the last. This kind of brings it all home full circle. You ask the same question you started with. With all that we've just talked about and all that we're implementing, not what we're going to, this happens down the road. Now, why would a customer do business with us instead of them? Same question you start off with is what you end with. And by the way, this is something that you don't do once. It's lather, rinse, repeat. Do it once a year and really sit down and analyze what's going on in the world of business with competition and the rest of the companies that everyone loves to do business with, and what can we take from that and make ours.
Shep, the time flies. The time flies. We have 60 seconds left. This is a new feature that we've implemented since we joined 710WOR. We ask our guests to share a tip based on their initials, and yours is SH.
SH. Okay. I'm going to do service and hospitality. And nice. First thing I want to say is service, as we talked about earlier, to emphasize, it's cultural. Customer service is not a department. It's a philosophy to be embraced by everybody in an organization. The H is hospitality. I don't care what kind of a company you are, you have to have a hospitality mentality. And that is, go back to what we talked about earlier, be nice, smile, and by the way, not just to your customers, to your employees as well. Because back to the culture idea is that what's happening inside an organization is felt on the outside. Service is a culture, hospitality is a mindset. There you go.
Shep Hyken, thank you for joining us here on Mind Your Business. What a great show. For those that missed it, where were you? Whoa. But by Tuesday morning, you'll be able to get the whole show. This wraps up an amazing edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710WOR and the iHeart Radio Network. Have a successful week.
710WOR and the iHeart Radio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.